I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Beloved, do you realize what this means? Imagine with me. God the Father, God the Son, and he says to the Father, Father, let me present to you Arthur Garnes. You know anything higher than that? You talk about society. They'll never invite me to Mr. Obama's house. They'll never invite me to the Queen of England's home. But I'm going to be presented to the God of heaven. How does that make you feel? We have something right before us. Now turn with me, please, to the book of the Hebrews. Chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 23. We are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly. General assembly. Check it out and you will find out that this may better be translated a festal gathering. A high-class gathering, a festal assembly. You remember a while back when the two lovely couples here were married? And we had a festal assembly. Well, that's what we are gathered unto, a festal assembly, a joyful assembly. That's what heaven's going to be. I have read this before, but let me read it again. This festal, joyful, joyous assembly, what is it going to be like? There will be no tears, no heartaches, no sickness, no pain, and no death. Nobody up there will have arthritis. Isn't that good? People will not get tired. How about that, beloved? They will carry no burdens and they'll never get old. Isn't that interesting? Do you know, you saw these little children running around. You know what one of them asked me as I was saying, when will you be 100? You're not going to get old up there. No sin, no accidents, no cemeteries or funerals. How about it? No undertakers, no crape on the doors, for no one ever dies. Are you glad you're going there? Nothing ever spoils, sisters. Flowers never lose their fragrance. Leaves never turn anything but green. No thunderstorms. How about that? No tsunamis. And the leaves are always green. That's where we're going. You'll have to pardon me, but aren't you glad to say? No hurricanes or tidal waves. No germs, fever, or illness. The sun will not shine there because we don't need sunshine in heaven. It is never too hot or too cold. No drunkards or immoral people. No illegitimate children. No prisons, jails, or reformatories. Doors have no locks. Windows have no bars. No lustful books. No pornography. You're going to like this one. No taxes. Who's going to pay taxes up there? No cripples, no deformed, no deaf, and no blind. No beggars, no diseases, no hospitals or asylums. No doctors or lawyers. You won't need me to practice up there. No sociologists or marriage counselors. That's where we're going. Do you like it? That's where we're going. The General Assembly. That heavenly group of people. That festal gathering. That's where we're going. Now I'm going to read something here. And after I read it, you tell me who wrote it. Speaking of heaven, we might possibly conceive of a place where the brightest colors, the sweetest music, the finest raiment, the loveliest flowers, the costliest furnishings exist, but all such will be dimmed into insignificance in the light of reciprocal love, which is mutually, cordially, harmoniously, complacently, translucently expressed. Who wrote that? Who? Say it again. Yes. That's right. Dr. Rose wrote that. And that's where we're going. But we go on a little further. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13. Again, I put my trust in him. Again. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. The children. You know, there's something about children you can't describe. I have three. I have to be careful. The ladies don't like to tell their age, so I won't tell their age. Except to say that the youngest one is 50. And do you know when I get together, I say, children, what do you think? I don't call them by their name. I say, children, so-and-so is the case. Children, what do you think of this? There is something about the word children that you can't express in words. Children. And we are children of the Lord. The children that thou hast given me. What a word. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Oh, how nice that is. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Verse 5. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of children. There is something about children that we can't describe. You just know you have them and you love them. Children. And we are children of God. Oh, what that must mean to God. What that must mean to us. Children of the Lord. Galatians 3 and 26. Galatians 3 and 26. For ye are all the children, the sons of God. What a calling. We are children of God. And there are certain things about children that we'd like to look at. Certain characteristics of children. Mark chapter 11. Certain characteristics of the children of God. Matthew 11 and 18. Matthew 11, 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But children, wisdom is known of her children. Wisdom should characterize us as the children of God. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what to do with the facts. Knowledge the facts. The house is on fire, so what do? Get out. A storm is coming. That's knowledge. What does wisdom tell you? Get away. Wisdom is knowing what to do. What is the source of wisdom? Where do we get wisdom? Proverbs chapter 9. We are children of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we are children of wisdom. Children who regard the God of heaven. That's how you start to be wise. The source of wisdom, God Himself. The commencement of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. The starting point of wisdom, fear of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3, please. And we see how one individual got wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Who is able to judge this people so great? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself life, neither hast thou asked for riches, neither hast thou asked the life of thy enemies, but asked for thyself understanding, behold, I have done according to thy word. I have given thee a wise an understanding heart. You want wisdom as a child of God? A child of wisdom? God is the source of wisdom. Chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the sea. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east coast and all the wisdom of Egypt. You want wisdom? As a child of wisdom, seek it from the Lord. And do you know that God will give you wisdom in even natural things? I have told you about a young lady at the school of nursing where my wife attended. She was in the assembly. And they used to tease her. You don't do this. You don't go here. You don't say this. Why are you so different? And she came to my wife and me one day with tears in her eyes. I'm going to quit. I can't take it. I said, God put you in that school of nursing. Stay there. And we're going to pray you through. Graduation day, Friday evening, I remember it well. We went to the graduation. You've heard me tell this story. And there was Grace Straw among the graduates. Tolerated much abuse from her classmates. Now, I am not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I witnessed. 14 prizes were given out. Grace Straw won 13 out of 14. Where'd she get the wisdom? You want wisdom? Fear the Lord. The beginning of wisdom. And today that young lady is in the health department of the state of California, a high paying job. Young folks, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Stand up for the Lord. Oh, when you go home, read Daniel chapter 1. Remember Daniel and his three friends? They wouldn't partake of the food that the Babylonians partook of. They honored the Lord. And what happened? Final examination. You know what happened. Daniel and his three friends won 2, 3, and 4. Won the first four prizes. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Let them talk. Let them laugh. Let them smile. Just stand up for the Lord. Not boasting, but I recall in medical school, the last week, it was whispered, somebody is not going to graduate. And they came to me and said, you don't seem worried. I said, no, I'm not worried. If I don't graduate, none of you will. Not because I was smart. Trusting in the Lord. He is the source of wisdom. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. As children of God, we are to let our light shine before men. Ephesians 5 and 8. Ye were sometimes darkness, now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jesus bids us shine, each one in his corner. You in your small corner and I in mine. Let us shine for Jesus. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. Are you shining, child of God? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed by what you see. Just shine for Jesus. I remember on one occasion, one of the hospitals where I work, I was just in training. And one of the nurses said to me, "You're not like the other doctors. You don't talk like them. You don't use the language. What's so different about you?" Oh, and I was so glad she could see a difference. Young folks at school, at home, at play, shine for Jesus. Let the beauty of the Lord be seen in you. As children of the Lord. Oh, here's another one. Ephesians 2 and 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. Disobedience. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is brought upon you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children. Obedient children. As children of God, let us be obedient. Not smart. You'll have to pardon me, but I'd go back in a few years. I think of Professor Prager. He taught organic chemistry. The first day, Professor Prager said, "Now, organic chemistry is not like inorganic chemistry. I am writing three sentences on the board. Copy those sentences. Don't ask me why they're true. Just accept them." You want to know something? The course was so easy because we accepted the three sentences. We didn't know what they meant at first. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And it's the same thing with God and with divine. God didn't ask us to understand anything. And that professor didn't ask us to understand what he wrote. He just said, "Accept it, believe it." And it's the same way with God. He doesn't ask, "How are you going to understand God?" Let's read. Isaiah 55, verse 8. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Now, how are you going to argue with God? The best thing to do is just do what he says. Obedient children. Obedient children. 1 Samuel 15:27, to obey is better than to sacrifice. Jonah chapter 1. Verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city." Verse 3. "But Jonah rose and went to Tarshish, the disobedient prophet." Now read the rest and see what happened. to obey is better than sacrifice. We are to be obedient children. Not understanding children, obedient. Do what the Lord says. Obey. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. He didn't say understand. He said obey. I'm going to check on the time. There's another thing that should characterize the children. And I think this will be my last point. Yes. Ephesians 4 and 12. Ephesians 4, verse 12. Concerning the children of the Lord. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Children of God, we are not to be tossed to and fro. And there are a lot of things aiming at us to toss us to and fro. Let me list for you some of the false things that the Bible tells us of. False pens, Jeremiah 8 and 8. Have you heard the expression, the pen is mightier than the sword? You can do more harm with the pen than with the sword. False pens, and there are plenty of them. Plenty of people writing false things, beware. False visions. So many people have visions, false visions, false dreams, false prophets, false apostles, false teachers. Oh, they're all over the place, false teachers. I think of one, he's well known, and I think, sadly, on a Sunday morning worship meeting, a brother in the meeting got up and read what this false teacher had to say. How painful. False teacher. You remember when the Lord fed the 5,000 from the two loaves and the small fishes? You remember that? This writer says, that was no miracle. I'll tell you exactly what happened. Now, he's living today and he's going to tell what happened thousands of years ago. It doesn't make sense to start with, does it? He said how the 5,000 were fed is this way. One little boy had a lunch. And he saw that the boy next to him didn't have any lunch. So he shared his lunch with the boy that had none. And when all these people saw this boy and how kind he was, they shared their lunch with those that didn't have it. That's how the 5,000 were fed. That man is still alive. It seems to me that God would have cut him down immediately. False teachers. False brethren. Be careful of them. False brethren. False Christ. False knowledge. Evolution. False knowledge. Oh, I remember Professor. Well, what's his name? Professor Belanger, great evolutionist. The The tree started here. An animal came out of the water. When he was in the water, he breathed through gills, but he came on land. What did he breathe through? I don't know. In fact, the evolutionists don't know. But this animal came up and came up and came up. And then the first man that walked on 2 feet was Pithecanthropus erectus. Isn't that some name? Pithecanthropus erectus. Oh, you sound real intelligent when you say that. He was the first man that walked on 2 feet. Then after him came the Cro-Magnon man. The only problem there is that he had a brain capacity greater than we have today. That's not evolution, that's devolution. Then the next man you all know about, the Piltdown man, he was a fake to begin with. And then the Neanderthal man. You had a baseball man that was elected to the Hall of Fame. He was a real Neanderthal. The bow legs, the humped shoulders, the space between the teeth, the thickened brows. And if you want to see a Neanderthal man, go to New York City in Midtown. You'll see a lot of them. A lot of them there. And then the highest man on the evolutionary tree. Who do you think he was? The blonde with blue eyes. And Professor Melander was blonde and had blue eyes. Where did that leave me? I like the Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. God would have all to be saved. And I looked in that class and looked at Professor Melander and said to myself, "You fool. You fool. Evolutionary. False teachers, beware of them." Conclusion. There are some other things we could talk of, but for the sake of time, we won't. 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter 4:17. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin at the house, at his house, at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? If you are here and you have not obeyed the gospel, Jesus Christ is not your Savior, what do you think your end is going to be? 2 Thessalonians 1. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? 2 Thessalonians 1:4. So that we ourselves glory in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and troubles that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. What shall be the end of those that obey not the gospel? Read. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Judgment. Flaming fire. If you are here and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, bow to him today. Take him as your Savior today. And those of us that know him as Lord and Savior, let us walk as obedient children, as worthy children, as children who are indeed obedient. saved children. Hymn number 620. We're going to heaven. As I always ask, aren't you glad you're going? 620. When all my labors and troubles, trials are all, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. What a place heaven is going to be. Aren't you glad? 620.